never planned it this way. She didn't plan that he would be alone, desolate, and under the sentence of death. No, she had promised him happiness. She had promised him blessing. Whenever his father reached out his hand, and whenever Isaac placed his hand of blessing upon his son and gave him the blessing, my, there was promise of pleasure. But instead of pleasure, there was pain. And as he lies down there in his disappointments, all the schemes that had looked so promising, all the schemes that had looked so rewarding, now they lie in absolute ruin, and his hopes of blessing lay shattered. Because sin, with all its promises, friend, will bring you disappointment. It'll promise you plenty. It promises the world, and yet the world will pass away. It promises you happiness, and yet, my friend, whenever the night of pleasure and song has died in the air, and you stand alone in the presence of God, you're empty, lost, hopeless. But there was another problem. As he lay down his head upon the pillow of stone that night, he was in the darkness. Verse 11 of chapter 20, it says, he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. It was a place of darkness. And there he was, afraid. When the darkness came, there was fear because he thought of his brother, lest his brother would come and approach and take away his life. Friend, sin will always leave you in the darkness because there is no hope out of Jesus Christ. And as you lie down in your hopelessness and lie down there in the darkness, that's where sin will leave you, friend. Because the devil has purposed and planned to bring you into a place of outer darkness, where the worm dieth not, and the fires of hell are never quenched. A place of darkness forever. That's not the promise sin made you. That's not the promise you're relying on, is it, friend? But I make a guarantee this morning. Your sin will leave you in the darkness. Because sin turns out the lights and brings hopelessness forever. It's only Christ that can change all that. It's only a mighty intervention of God can change all that. And that's what Bethel speaks to us. It was the place where God stepped in. It is the place where God changed the life of Jacob. It was the place where the darkness was dispelled. And praise God, the disappointment was broken. And the death sentence was taken away. And the desolation was removed. It was the place where God revealed himself. Because Bethel was a place of revelation. The Lord revealed himself to Jacob. Verse 16 of chapter 28. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place. And I knew it not. I knew it not. And praise God, his ignorance was removed as he became conscious of the presence of God. You're unconverted this morning, let me tell you. You're in the ignorance of your sin. Oh, that you might be conscious of God. Oh, there might be a God consciousness. That you might realize that the Lord, this is the house of God. This is a place where God's word is read and expounded. This is a place where God is ordained to come and meet with his people, and we can meet with him. The Lord spake to Jacob in a dream.
And Bethel became the place of his consecration. Look at verse 20. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me, and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God, and this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house, and all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. It became not only the place of his revelation, it became the place of his consecration. And Jacob was changed that night. Changed from a getter to a giver. The marvelous grace of a sovereign God. I believe two things happened in Bethel that night. I believe that God met with Jacob. And I believe there God melted Jacob. And he vowed a vow to God. He was stirred that night. His heart was stirred. As God met with him and God spoke to him and God dealt with him in grace and in love, he was changed. And he made a vow to God. You hear me, preacher, that's powerful, and so it is. A friend, sad to say, Jacob didn't remain true to his vow. He wandered away. He wandered away. And when we turn to chapter 35, years later, God speaks again. And God said unto Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel, and dwell there. God's speaking to Jacob again, and he reminds him of the past. He brings to his memory the meeting that God had with him at Bethel. And he says to him, Jacob, arise and go up to Bethel. In other words, come back to Bethel, Jacob. Come back to the place of meeting. Come back to the place where you were changed. Come back to the place of blessing. And God reminded him of the place where he started. Let me ask you a question this morning. Are there those in this service this morning you can remember the first time you met with God? God met with your heart. You remember the time when once you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord? Let me ask you a straightforward question. Are you away from Bethel this morning? Are you? Have you left Bethel? Have you gone away from God? Is there a distance between God and thee this morning because you've wandered away from him? God would say to you, come back to Bethel. My child, come back to Bethel. The place of the house of God. The place of blessing. I read a story this week of a farmer and his wife who were traveling in an old truck together. And as they were driving to town in the old pickup truck, the farmer sitting as usual behind the wheel, faithful and steady behind the wheel, he sat in silence. His wife was sitting, but she was sitting over against the door. She was sitting as close to the door as she possibly could, just as far away from her husband as she could get. And as they were traveling down the road, the wife spoke up and broke the silence, and she said, you know, dear, when we first married, We didn't sit a distance apart. We sat together. And the old man, sitting faithful behind the wheel, turned to his wife and said, "Well, I ain't the one that moved. I ain't the one that moved." Friends, let me tell you, are you away from God this morning? Is there a distance between you and God? Have you lost the joy? Have you lost the happiness? Have you lost the fervor that once you had with God? Have you lost that closeness when you got on your knees before God? And let me tell you, the heavens opened and you spoke to God and there was that love in your heart between you and God. You've lost it. Now you don't care whether you're in God's house or not. You're not found in the prayer meeting anymore. You've lost the prayer. You've lost the communion. You've lost the fellowship. But God hasn't moved. God ain't the one that moved, friend. You've got away from God. Have you? Surely it's time to get back to Bethel. Surely it's time to come home, wanderer. Surely it's time, dear child of God, that you stopped fooling yourself that you can find happiness in the world, because there is none there that's going to last. And you try to find the friendships of the world, friend, to fill the void. But you know it doesn't work. You've wandered away from God. Let me tell you the way back. Listen, a return that was necessary. Go up to Bethel. In other words, go back to Bethel. You see, it's probably 30 years since Jacob had that vision at Bethel first. And in that intervening time, sadly, things had deteriorated. Through wicked behavior, Jacob and his family had become like a stench to those that were living around him. Isn't that sad? God had promised that he would make him a blessing. Look at chapter 34. Look at verse 30, chapter 34. "And Jacob said to Simeon and Levi, 'Ye have troubled me to make me to stink among the inhabitants of the land.'" A life that could have been a blessing. A life that could have been a sweet aroma, a sweet savor in the district when they were living. Instead of that, Jacob says to his boys, Simeon and Levi, "You've troubled me to make me a stink or a stench. There's no sweetness in our testimony. There's no sweetness in our lives among the people anymore. You make me as a stench." And be honest, is that the way your life's been lived? Your life smelling of the world. And yet once you profess the name of Jesus, if they smelt your breath, it would be the smell and the stench of the booze. If they smelt your clothes, it would be the smell of the smoke. Instead of the smell of heaven. Because of the company and the life that you keep and live. You know, Jacob obeyed God about leaving Haran and heading for Canaan.
But when he got there, he didn't continue to obey God.
See, God instructed him. Chapter 31 is what God said to him. Chapter 31, verse 3, and the Lord said unto Jacob, return unto the land of thy fathers and to thy kindred, and I will be with thee. And it is true that Jacob returned to the land of his fathers, but he did not return to his kindred, the house of his fathers, in Hebron. Do you remember Jacob made a vow 30 years before that? He said, Lord, the stone that you bless me and you do this for me, Lord, the stone that I've laid my head upon and I've laid as a pillar, Lord, it will become your house. And he vowed that he would worship at Bethel if God brought him home safely. And God kept his part of the bargain. But Jacob didn't keep his. Rather than going to his father's house, to his kindred, to Hebron, the place of fellowship, what did he do, friend? He stopped off at Succoth and Shechem. He postponed the fulfillment of the vow that he made. And you know what happened, friend? Read the story for yourself. It resulted in disaster. Disaster. But God intervenes. Isn't God a gracious God? And God intervenes and instructs Jacob to go back to Bethel. And then he says, later, go back to Hebron. It was the word of God that stirred in chapter 35. And God said unto Jacob, it was the word of God that stirred his soul. It was the word of God that brought him back the memory of the former days. And friend, we need to keep the word of God at the center. Because God's word is the foundation of any great accomplishment for God. You can't expect the blessing of God if you're walking in disobedience to God's word. You can't expect God to put his anointing and power upon your life, friend, if you're walking in disobedience to what God has commanded in his word. And God says, go up to Bethel. Notice the word up. Because let me tell you, God's commands always lead you to higher ground. God always takes his people up. We sang the hymn this morning, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Did you really believe that this morning? Was that really the prayer of your heart? Is that what you're looking for this week? And asking God and seeking the face of God and earnestly praying, God, I pray in Jesus' name, oh, that I might, Lord, be led to higher ground in fellowship and in blessing with thee? You know, we live on a downward slide in society. We live in a polluted and impure society that will take you down, then morally and spiritually. It's sad to say our nation is on the decline. Why? Because we have run out the word of God in favor and we have brought in the corrupt word of man. And the results are disastrous. You can't disobey God, friend. You can't stay at Shechem. Shechem was a wicked city. It was a place where God didn't want his child to dwell. God says, arise, go up to Bethel. God said, get back then to the place where your kindred are. Get back to Hebron. But Jacob delayed his obedience. And it cost him greatly. disobedience and delaying obedience, let me tell you, which is disobedience, will cost you and me greatly. Let me give you a warning this morning. Living in the wrong place and choosing a place because of its material advantage rather than spiritual good will lead to disaster rather than blessing. Remember Lot? He saw the plains that were lush. And he took his family and he pitched his tent toward Sodom. It was a good place of material wealth, friend. It was a place of material advantage. It was a place of prosperity. People have now said to me, "Preacher, I'm moving away because I've decided I'm going to move. I'm going to leave Ulster and I'm going to some other place," and they say, "because," and they'll tell you, "because there's better prosperity there, or prospects there." Let me say this, friend. There might be better material prospects, but just you be sure there's better spiritual prospects. Because Lot found out Sodom was good for the cattle to feed on. Sodom was not a place that was good for the family. And he lost his family there. You go with God this morning. And Jacob was away from the house of God. And I'll tell you why he was away from the house of God. Because he was away from God. He was away from God himself. He had wandered away from God. Let me ask you a question. And I ask it in my own heart. Are you and I as close with God today as we were yesterday or last year? Are you in sweet fellowship with God, friend? He walks with me, he talks with me, and he tells me that I'm his own. Oh, the joy that we share as we tarry there none other has ever known. Or can you honestly have to say this morning, where is the blessedness I knew when first I saw the Lord? Where is the soul refreshing view of Jesus and his word, friend? Because before God, honestly, you have lost that fellowship. What peaceful hours I once enjoyed. How sweet their memory still. But they've left an aching void. The world can never fill. And for over 20 years, Jacob had been spiritually unfaithful and unfruitful. Because his heart was away from Bethel. Remember the promise he made, friend? Chapter 28. If God be with me. Verse 20. And the word "if" there is the word "since," or "because God be with me." It's not doubt, it's assurance. "Since God be with me and will keep me in this way that I go and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God, and this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house, and of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee." You remember the promise he made? Let's change that. Do you remember the promise you made to God? Because it's very possible you remember the promise that Jacob made, but you forgot yours. Do you remember the promise you made to God, friend, to be faithful in the place of prayer for God's work here? Do you remember the promise you made to God that you would seek the lost in the fervency of the moving of the Spirit of God, you promised to get the unsaved and seek to go after them and bring them in. You promised to witness. Do you think God has forgot all those promises? No, friend. God hasn't. You have. That's the problem. That's the problem, friend. It's you and me have forgot the promise. God didn't tell Jacob to go to Bethel and then return to Shechem. God told Jacob to leave Shechem. Move on. Dwell there. Dwell there and build the altar. That's what God said to him. And the altar was a place of sacrifice. And the sacrifice in the altar speaks of Christ and speaks of the blood sacrifice and speaks of Calvary. And let me tell you, true worship focuses upon the work of Christ on Calvary. And you can't leave out Christ and Calvary and have true worship and have true worship experience. It's based on the work of the cross. And he said, arise, go up to Bethel, dwell there. In other words, leave Shechem. That's separation, friend. Remember the vow of separation? I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me, but I'm not going back. And like Ruth who said to Naomi, where thou dwellest, I will dwell. Thy people shall be my people. Thy God shall be my God. And where thou is buried, I will be buried. Listen, my friend, you remember the vows. Remember the promises. Remember the separation. But God's people have lost the line, the clear line of separation today. I'm trying to flirt with the world. Trying to get back on riding two horses or a foot in both camps. A return that was necessary. Come back to Bethel. Next Lord's Day we're going to look at a repudiation that was named. Friend, let me tell you, there's no cheap way. Blessing, there's a cost. There is a cost this morning. But I say this in God's name. Go through with God thy vows to pay. Thy life upon the altar lay. The Holy Ghost will do the rest. And God will give to thee his very best. Jacob, go up to Bethel and dwell there and build the altar unto God. Let's pray. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, as we bow before Thee this morning, Lord, Thou hast been speaking to our hearts. Though God, I ask Thee in Jesus' name that Thou wilt just call afresh the wanderer and bring them home. Bring them back to the place when first they met the Lord. Lord, we would say with the hymn writer, take me back, Lord, to Calvary. Take me back to the place where I started. Loose the chains, O God, let me go free. For I can't stay away any longer. take me back, Lord, to Calvary. Oh God, may there be a turning from our sin this morning and a turning afresh to Thee. Lord, we pray that Thy people, instead, O God, of that disgruntled spirit because of a wandering, Lord, bring them back with joy. The joy of Thy salvation. The joy of restoration. The joy of true consecration. We pray in Jesus' name.